All right, so data centers is a huge topic. And why, what's been the reason why some running for office politicians, they've kind of stayed away from it for the most part? Obviously, there is an economic benefit to these things. Now, even in places like Ohio, where they have a lot of these things, dozens and dozens of them, right? Governor Mike DeWine paused new tax breaks in Ohio for the centers last month after an independent report estimated that it had cost the state more than $1 billion in lost revenue last year. Well, $1 billion is not something to sneeze at. That's a substantial amount of money in lost revenue that they had. But you have both Republicans and Democrats running for office that say, well, what are these companies going to do? Not only the companies that are building these facilities, these AI companies, but then utility companies.
Yeah.
How are they going to juxtapose this and how are they selling it to voters? Abdul El-Sayed is running for U.S. Senate here in the state of Michigan, joins us this morning to talk about it. It's good to have you back. Where do you stand on the issue of data centers at this time?
Yeah, I mean, we're watching them pop up everywhere. And if they're going to pop up, look, the taxpayers shouldn't be funding them. I mean, you think about these are the biggest corporations in the history of the world. They don't need our taxpayer dollars. What they need to do is make us rich without hurting our access to electricity or our water. And so we proposed the terms of engagement. And those terms of engagement are such: if you're going to build these, you use union labor. You need to make sure that it does not touch our utility rates. In fact, some of the money that these utilities are bringing in needs to be used to improve our reliability. And then they need to have closed loop systems, which is a fancy way of don't touch our water if you're going to build these in our communities. And then there needs to be a community benefits agreement where we know how much money you're going to give to what projects in the local community. That money needs to be put up in escrow. So regardless of what happens to your data center, it's still there. And then all of this needs to be enforceable by very clear fines and fees, including the right to shut down the data center if you don't pay up. But here's the thing, right? They're using their power, these huge big tech corporations, to truck local communities, because at the end of the day, they know they can force our hand. And there's this race to the bottom. So I want to pass this all as federal legislation at the very top. So there's a floor whenever a data center project is proposed that you're going to invest in the local community rather than asking the local community to invest in you.
And, you know, you've argued that AI-related infrastructure should face regulation similar to public utilities. What would that actually look like?
That's exactly right. Look, we're talking about the most transformative technology in the history of the world. The kind of technology that's rushing in 5-10 years could fundamentally change the ability to actually sell your labor for money on the market. And so we both need ownership as a public. Any of the money that is made has to be spread around to the folks who might lose jobs as a function of it. But we also need control. So there's a bunch of different ways you could think about this. You could think about a federal agency that sits over top, kind of like the Fed does when it comes to banking, sits over top of the industry to make sure that they're not running amok or failing basic security tests. Or you could imagine making sure that you have some sort of democratic appointment on all the boards of these hyperscaler companies. But there needs to be both ownership and control to make sure that the kind of technology that has huge implications for the public does not happen without the public's oversight.
Are you hearing that this is as big of an issue amongst folks that you're talking to as you're running around the state? Is this a bigger issue in the metro area? Is it a big issue outstate? What are you hearing from people?
Look, I've been to more than 100 different cities across the state of Michigan over the last year. There is not a place that I go where the question about either data centers or AI doesn't pop up. It's everywhere. It's coming fast. People understand that has huge impacts on your ability to even make money. It has huge impacts on your local community. And if we don't get this right, we might miss the opportunity to actually do anything about it. So I can be in Escanaba. I can be in Sault Ste. Marie. I can be in the city of Detroit or Grand Rapids. People bring it up. They're worried.
Some critics, though, have argued that campaign donations and you know, lobbying dollars make it difficult for politicians to challenge these powerful AI and tech interests. Is that a legitimate concern?
Yeah, I'm one of them. Look, I've never taken a dime from a corporation, not DTE, not Consumers Energy, and not Big Tech. I'm the only person running for U.S. Senate, Democrat or Republican, who can say that. And so I think you're absolutely right. You're talking about the richest corporations in the history of the world, whose technology is going to make them richer. And if we don't regulate this soon, I worry that the horse will have left the barn. You're talking about companies that can then use their money to spend $100 million every 2 years to shape the outcomes of elections to make sure that people who get elected aren't willing to touch their cash cow. And I think that's entirely the wrong way about it. And it happens across every sector of our lives, but this one's uniquely important because of how fast this is moving. So I'm the only person who's never taken a check from big tech or the utilities. And so it's important for me to stand up and say, look, we need regulation now to make sure that this is all happening in the best interest of the people, not a few billionaires out in San Francisco.
You were able to pick up an endorsement from the United Auto Workers. That's a big get for you and your campaign. I'm curious to know how, I mean, we're seeing in these tight races around the country and even some maybe problematic ones out in Maine with Graham Plattner, for example. How are all of these things coalescing in your campaign? How are you using them in your favor over those that you're running against?
Look, I'm really grateful to earn the endorsement of the UAW. So honored, because my dad literally came to this country from Egypt to design cars. He understood that the heart of the auto industry were the folks who built them, and that's the UAW. But right now, the UAW is fighting for working people in every sector. They understand that corporations and their interests are more focused on the quarterly bottom line, things like stock buybacks, using their money to buy stock to artificially expand the price of their stock so the CEO looks better on paper, than they are interested in making sure that the people who built their companies are benefiting or that there's a long-term profitability opportunity for those companies. So look, this is a challenge that you see across the board. Right now, it's harder and harder to live your life. People are worried that they're being priced out of healthcare. They're being priced out of the opportunity for a job. They can't afford a basic education or a home for their kids. And they're angry about it. And they understand that the establishment in both sides of our politics, Democrat or Republican, are playing the same corporate game. I think that's why you're seeing people who are rising up and standing up to corporations step up in elections and do pretty well. I know my name is Abdul El-Sayed. I got an uncommon name. I'm not supposed to run for office. I knew that the day I realized that my name was as different as it was. But the reality of it is that people are sick and tired. They're less interested in your name, whether or not you care about knowing their name and care about fighting for them. And that's what we're doing in this race. I think you're seeing it all over the country.
And, you know, some labor unions support data center construction because of the jobs they create. How do you reconcile labor's support for those projects with community concerns about energy costs and the impact on the environment?
And look, if you're a union and you build stuff, you want to build stuff. And data centers are the stuff that's getting funded to get built. That's why I think it's important for us to establish a floor to say, look, when you build these things, we got to make sure it's in the best interest of everybody. Because I've talked to a lot of folks in these unions. They say, look, I want to build this because that means a meal on the table for my kid. But I don't want to have to go home afterwards because I got a job for 3 months, built this data center, and then I'm paying three times as much for my electricity bill. And meanwhile, my water is brown coming out of the faucet. So we need policy that's going to address all of this. And so we're working alongside unions to figure out how to do this in a clean way that puts money up front and people up front rather than corporations and their interests up front.
U.S. Senate candidate Abdul El-Sayed, thanks for your time this morning. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, you know, and remember, there were a lot of UAW members that were supporting Donald Trump in the last
race, too.
The UAW did endorse Kamala Harris, but there were a lot of folks inside the union that were supporting Donald Trump.
Way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. Coming up on the other side, get you caught up on the headlines. It's JR Morning.